Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Well, Michael Heidemann's got the jam tonight. It's Nightside. I'm Elizabeth Alfano, and Mark Carmen is with me tonight. And it's been fun. We've been co-hosting for the first time tonight, so we are having a great time right here on WGN 720. In the studio with me, two powerhouses with a really exciting story. So I have Corey Lopez, who's the social media manager and marketing director of Greenleaf Foods. And I have the president himself of Greenleaf, Dan Curtin. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having us.
So, it's been an exciting week for you two. Let's start at the beginning. I know you've had some huge news this week, but before we talk about products that have launched and repackaging and exciting stories and protein, let's start at the beginning. Greenleaf Foods hasn't been around for very long because it started from maple leaf in Canada. Take me from the beginning.
That's great. Thanks very much for having us, first of all. This has been a really, really exciting week for us. Lots going on. So to start at the beginning, Maple Leaf Foods, I've worked with Michael McCain, the CEO, for over 30 years on various different projects and food businesses, all based here in Chicago, and I've run them out of Chicago here. So Maple Leaf Foods, Toronto-based, we made a commitment a number of years ago that we would be the most sustainable protein company on earth. And with that, we said we were going to expand from just our traditional animal protein into other proteins, and we got ourselves involved with plant-based protein businesses just about 2 years ago. So we made the strategic decision to say, for us to get involved with plant-based foods, we wanted to go after the true pioneers that started this business, and we were fortunate enough to be able to acquire Light Life Foods out of Massachusetts about a year and a half ago. Light Life is the true pioneer of this category. It's been around for 40 years, so that's one of the exciting things we have going on this week that we announced. So it's the 40th anniversary. So we started first with that business, and then we said we have to expand beyond what we have just with that. And we looked at the businesses, and we looked at the categories, we looked at different brands out there, and one brand that I was incredibly happy about was Field Roast out of Seattle. It's another pioneer in the business. They've been around for over 20 years. And we were fortunate enough to get together with the family owners of that business, and we acquired that just about a year ago. In fact, Monday will be a one-year anniversary that we acquired that. So in a very short span of time, last 18, 20 months, we've acquired two pioneer powerhouse brands in the refrigerated plant-based protein category, and really, really excited about what we've been able to do. So from that, we said then, this is going to create the foundation for us to start the plant-based food division inside of Maple Leaf. So we created Greenleaf Foods. Actually, we kicked that off a couple of months ago. And that is going to be the holding company for the brands that we put underneath this.
That are plant-based.
100% plant-based. So yes, while we're part of Maple Leaf is there more from a financial side of it and expertise where we need it. But we have our own division. We're focused 100% on plant-based foods.
What's your journey like, Dan, in educating people on why they should perhaps make a shift in their life and what they're consuming? It's better for them. It's better for the world. Like, how do you approach that?
Corey, you want to jump in with some of that?
Yeah. So reality is that a lot of consumers already are discovering it themselves. We see more and more people choosing to explore plant-based proteins over the last several years. And so a lot of the communication is really about how easy the transition can actually be for people, that it is an approachable source of protein and it can be the center of your plate, right? So it's a lot of about discovery and helping people to understand the versatility of the protein options that are in the plant-based section so that they can actually find them approachable for them and their families.
And I think there's a judgment out there too that it's just not affordable. I can't spend $12 to get a juice or whatever you want to, you know, whatever it is. But so what, as far as you guys making the product affordable for, you know, whatever, the standard person, how have you gone about doing that? Or is that just a myth?
In our category, it tends to be more of a myth. I think there's two things. There are some mainstream everyday familiar products that are very much very competitive with your traditional animal meat product. There's some other higher end products, some artisan products, some more products that have different type of ingredients that are a little bit more premium. But we have not found that to be a barrier of entry in our categories.
Interesting.
I think it's really interesting. The guest we had before you, we were talking about recycling, and is it sometimes overwhelming and we feel disempowered? And then I was saying, well, you know, actually, as consumers, we're really empowered because we kind of vote with our dollars. And I think that this is living proof. Maple Leaf is a meat company, basically. And they're shifting from a meat protein company to a protein company, period, because they see that consumers are shifting. It's not like Maple Leaf thought of it and then they decided to make everyone else do it. Everybody else wanted to do it. And so Maple Leaf said, okay, we're going to shift. Tyson is shifting from a meat-based company to a protein company. Dannon bought Silk plant-based milks. So lots of companies are saying, oh, this is what the consumer wants. We're going to shift. And I think it's very empowering for consumers to know they're changing things.
Elizabeth, we look at this as a couple of ways. One, we believe you can do anything, but do it in moderation. So we believe having options for people to do that is important. But what we also recognize is, unlike some of the other companies you just mentioned, we really showed our commitment by making two massive acquisitions with two leaders in the category. We weren't just placing bets. We said we want to do this. And since we've made both those acquisitions, we've invested tens of millions of dollars in expanding our capacity, bringing food safety to a new level, bringing out some innovation, doing some things with packaging. You talk about recyclability. The new product that we're launching, everything on there is 100% recyclable, including the tray, which is a point of difference from all of our competitors. So these things are very, very important to us as we go through this journey together.
So it's such an exciting time. We are going to go to break, but before we do that, we got a couple minutes here. Tell me about the new product. So what did you tell the world this week?
Well, first of all, we're incredibly excited about this. You know, it's our 40th anniversary. We looked at this as we were going to launch a couple of things. Number one, we wanted to be thankful for the people that have been on this journey with us for 40 years. It's been tremendous. We're the number one selling refrigerated plant-based protein product out there. So that was number one. The second thing we wanted to do was, it was time to kind of rejuvenate the brand with the look. So we've got a brand new look and feel and design that is being exposed just as we speak about. And the third thing was around the products. You know, we challenged our culinary people to come up with the products that are absolutely positively delicious. We've got a brand new burger that's coming out. We've got grounds. We're the only ones coming out with grounds. We've got two sausage products as well. Absolutely positively delicious. Great in nutrition. Great with the calorie count. Lower ingredients than all of our competitors out there. It just absolutely kills from a competitive side.
And protein, protein, protein. We're going to talk all about it when we come back because I want to hear what you can do with some of these products. You just heat them up and eat them right away? Or are you cooking with them? Recipes, we're going to get into all that. But first, we're going to head to break on WGN 720. We're back with some good info, people. I'm Elizabeth Alfano. Mark Carmen is my co-pilot, my wingman. Can I say that? Can
you be a wingman? You just did, Elizabeth.
Okay.
We are winging around.
We are wing people today for each other. We got a great show. I've got Dan Curtin and Corey Lopez in the house. Dan is president of Greenleaf Foods, and Corey is the social media and marketing director. Before we talk about their brand new product launches this week, just 2 days ago, so very exciting, I want to talk about the category in general and give some statistics that were handed to me by the Good Food Institute that has its Department of Innovation located here in Chicago. Brad Barbero was kind enough to give me these stats, and I do love them for it. So the global meat substitute market is projected to be worth $6 billion in 2022. Right now, meat alternatives are looking at about 1% of the marketplace, but the plant-based milks are about 13% of the marketplace. So if meat substitutes do what milk substitutes did, they're looking at about $10 billion. It's not a small chunk of change. So people are taking notice. And again, consumers made that happen. Consumers are making that shift and they're making those numbers real. So you, of course, Dan, you want to give your consumers what they want. So let's talk more specifics about the products that came out this week.
Sure. So We're launching four products. The first product that we're launching is a plant-based burger. It's got 20 grams of protein in it, no GMOs, completely soy-free, gluten-free. It's going to be sold in the refrigerated section, in the meat section, in traditional grocery stores. So a little departure from where we're at. So we've spoken to our Light Life consumers about that to make sure that we were being true to their needs, but also looking at where the market is going. As you said, as this market continues to grow, it's growing beyond just vegans and vegetarians. It's growing with flexitarians, reducitarians, people that are looking for awesome products that that are delivering on their quality, but also hitting the protein level that they want.
So what's a reducitarian?
A reducitarian is someone that says, I don't want to be true vegan or true vegetarian, but I do want to reduce down the amount of animal meat or other proteins that I'm doing.
See, I could take that on. That's my role. I'll be a reducitarian.
There you go.
I think I'm already a reducitarian, but I could maybe even be a better reducitarian.
More people are than they think.
Right. The product placement's huge too, right? Because like if somebody's looking for a burger and then they see this and then they're like, I might give it a shot. And then they see that they like it, and they're like, oh, well, I just did myself a solid, and I'm healthier, and all of a sudden I'm on my way to being a reducitarian, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Did I hear that? That makes sense, right?
You're exactly going the right way, Mark. You know, as you look at this, you know, if you looked at the old way traditional veggie burgers were done, they were all sold frozen. They looked like hockey pucks in the frozen section, right? And this is completely changing that because people... While there's a big fan base that want that, the people that are coming into it now and looking, they want something different. They want something they can relate to, but has to deliver on quality and taste and all those things. Yeah. So the burger, everybody gets a burger. Everybody understands a burger. And what's really cool about that is you could customize it to how you love your burger, whatever that may be. So that's one product, and we're really excited about it. We've got two sausage products that we're going to be coming out as well that Corey will talk about in a second. But the other thing that we're doing that we're really jazzed about is we've come up with a ground product. Very different, very unique. It's going to be the first innovation to the marketplace at all. So it allows people to do exactly what you would do with ground beef, you could do with our grounds. You could put it into your pastas, you can put it into your meat sauce, you can make meatballs with it. You could have the flexitarian part of it to do what you want. There you go. So Corey, why don't you talk about the sausage a little bit?
Yeah, so we have two sausage products coming out. One is an Italian sausage and one is a bratwurst. And so both of them deliver on a true meat sensory experience. So exactly the kind of experience you would expect from a pork sausage, but it's made entirely from plants, right? So it is exactly something that you might enjoy because it's easy to swap. It's going to give you the experience you want from traditional meat, but it's going to make you feel better. It doesn't weigh you down, we like to say, right? So it's going to be something that you can use as the same versatile kind of sausage that you throw in a bun, you slice it, you put it on pasta. It works the same way a pork sausage would, but it's better for you.
And it's an texture? Easy switch.
Oh, it has great texture.
Okay, yep, so yeah, it's similar in texture.
Oh, taste, texture, aroma, appearance. It's across the board. It's the whole sensory experience that you would expect from what we like to say is traditional meat.
See, how can it taste as good? Let's go. Let's get in a deep, dark argument here, Corey. How can it be as good as the real thing?
Well, we'd have to ask the R&D specialists for that one.
Okay.
So they have far more, obviously, technical experience on this than we can probably speak to do it due justice. But really, we brought our 40 years of experience with Light Life innovation to the table and partnered with our Maple Leaf R&D team to really be collaborative in the approach to the product development process so that we brought the best that we had to the table to create a true meat experience in our plant-based products. And the way you're going to know is doing a taste test when we give you a sausage.
This is the truth.
I kind of want to jump in there because before Ashley, who's the author that we just had, we had Chef Charity Morgan, who is a plant-based chef, and she cooks for a lot of the Tennessee Titans. And I think that's kind of your answer, Mark, when you're saying like, well, how can it be as good as the real thing? You know, the Titans are changing because they feel better. And because they feel better, they can perform better. So if you don't feel bad after eating, because a lot of people feel bad after they eat meat, that's a huge plus.
Yeah, and for the record, I don't think it has to taste as good. Like it just needs to be, in my mind, good enough. Like it doesn't have to be, I'm good with this is just right there for me.
But Mark, what you do want a good eating experience.
Sure.
Right? And that's one thing that we deliver on, right? We've spent a lot of time on that, working with people, working with consumers, getting the feedback, working with our technical people to try to zero that in and make sure that people have a good eating experience. You can get anybody to try something once.
Yeah.
We want them to try it two times, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, like forever, and make that part of who they are and what they've become.
What are you guys doing about dessert? We got a nice. I get excited about a chocolate cake at the end of my day. We have Elizabeth brought in like marshmallows, which there was a very nice touch for you. I don't know what these are.
Dandies.
Yeah, they're not as good as your regular marshmallows. They're good.
Oh,
the fighting words.
Yes. So, but he's kind of bringing up a point there. That's another Chicago vegan food company. So why did you guys decide to have your headquarters here in Chicago? I mean, we are a foodie town for sure, and we're seeing more and more vegan food companies pop up. Why did you guys choose Chicago?
So, Elizabeth, great question. I think it goes back to the history I've had with Michael McCain, who's the CEO of Maple Leaf. Michael and I started working together over 30 years ago here in Chicago. We've built a number of businesses here in Chicago. To your point, it's a great food town. There's amazing people and amazing talent who are really food-centric people that love to have these type of opportunities. What's great about Chicago, while you've got the big food companies, you've got a lot of smaller companies, you got a lot of startup companies, and you know there's numerous of them that have happened. So the attraction for talent is great. We were able to convince Corey to move from California here because of they see what we're doing. I told her every day was like May. She was a little surprised this week with the cold.
You're having not a good week.
but what is happening is because what we're doing, and it is so vibrant and so exciting, we are attracting people, and people are calling us and they want to be part of this, and they believe that this is where the whole plant-based food movement is going. This is not a fad. This is absolutely a trend that's happening, and it's building, and it's building. You quoted some of those numbers. That's the beauty of us getting involved with this. We've been able to invest in capacity, and we're bringing products to different parts of North America that did not have the products before, because neither one of the companies had the opportunity or the resources to get it there.
Quick call for you guys. Anthony, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering, does their product have any tree nuts or peanuts? And the second question is it high carb where people who are keto or Atkins or type 2 diabetics? Is that a concern? Because like regular meat doesn't have a lot of carbs.
Thanks, Anthony.
Great question.
Thank you.
So the new products are completely nut-free. There's no soy, there's no GMO, there's no gluten. So we really stayed away from a lot of allergies, and we have a very clean ingredient list. From a carbohydrate perspective, yes, the meat is going to have zero, so it's going to be more than that, but it is low. So I'm looking at the burger specifically right now. We have 10 grams of carbohydrates in there, which is only 4% of your daily value. So it is really low. We really focused on having the right balanced nutrition. So we focused on making sure we delivered on that 20 grams of protein.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation coming up after 9:30. I think I'm going to be put on the spot by Elizabeth. We have some level of protein game that's going to prove that perhaps I'm not very intelligent. I'm comfortable with that.
Oh, we got our groove on. It's Friday night in the studio, WGN 720. I'm Elizabeth Alfano. I am flying side by side with Mark Carman tonight. We have Dan Curtin and Corey Lopez in the studio. They are from Greenleaf Foods, and Greenleaf owns Light Life, which has just had some amazing announcements of new products this week. But I sort of want to talk about an old product because it's my favorite. It's been around since 1979. It hasn't changed, and I haven't been eating it since 1979, but I do love it. It's tempeh. Mark, what's tempeh?
Tempeh is a delicious option that's healthy and good for you.
Right. Excellent.
Spot on.
Yes. Well said, sir. Well said. So, Corey, tell us what tempeh is and why it's so great.
So I like to think of tempeh as the kombucha of soy. So it is a fermented whole soybean product. So think of like the healthier version of tofu, but is just as versatile. So it is incredibly high in protein, very simple ingredient list. It's really just soybeans. And it is applicable to everything you could possibly imagine. I know you make chili with it. People will slice it, dice it. They'll bake it, fry it, saute it. You can do anything you want. You can make it into tempeh fries if that feels like it's a little bit easier to digest.
Mm.
So it is delicious.
Lasagna. I put it in lasagna.
There you go. Yeah, and so it has been a raging success on a sandwich that's called the TTLA, which is basically a BLT but made better because it's made with tempeh bacon, tomato, lettuce, and avocado. So, highly recommend that.
So tempeh is not tofu. Those are two separate things?
They are different,
right,
yes.
Right, okay, I got that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so tofu is relatively processed comparatively. That's why it looks the way it does versus in a tempeh product, you will actually see the whole soybeans.
Interesting. So better for you.
Much better for you. Less processed foods. Yeah, it's going to be better for you. It is the founding of Light Life, right? Like
it
you said,
is.
They are making tempeh in 1979 in Western Mass, which is pretty freaking cool.
Yes. They were the original of like the health nuts. So I just made vegan meatloaf with Light Life tempeh. And it was so fantastic. First of all, one package of Light Life tempeh is 40 grams of protein, which is just so amazing. And so when I put that in with mushrooms and quinoa and lentils and sauteed onions and celery, and I brought them together and I put it in the dish and I baked it with some spicy tomato sauce, and then I let it set. That's my meatloaf. It was super easy to make. That whole thing was 60 grams of protein. And then I divided up for 5 people. So, and most people had 2 servings. So it was like 12 grams of protein per slice. It's just so much protein in my vegan meatloaf. And it's all because of your Light Life tempeh.
Yeah, it's a great source of protein. And people don't realize it. And it's really easy to integrate into your diet.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about that. Because all the products that you're putting together have lots of protein in them. Your burger, I think you said, has 20 grams.
Correct.
Okay, so if the burger has 20 grams of protein, and then I was shocked to read this, a burger bun has about 5 grams of protein. I was shocked by that. I re-Googled it. So, and it depends on the size. A small one's going to be 4.5. A large one's going to be 6.5. So about 5.5. Okay, so we're looking at your general burger as 25 grams of protein if you're eating a plant-based burger. And give or take, it's the exact same thing for a hamburger. So you can have an immediate swap for protein. You're not missing out on anything. I think people are always asking the protein question. Oh, if you're plant-based, how are you getting protein? Mark, do you ever worry about that?
I do, Elizabeth. Not necessarily consciously, but somewhere in my unconscious, I think that's going on right now, actually.
Well, Elizabeth, to your point, I think people feel they're giving things up. And that doesn't always have to be the case.
And I think that people...
Do like that.
I think that people think also that there's only one way to get protein. It comes from meat. And that everything else doesn't have protein. But that's not actually right. So I was wondering, Mark, if you would like to take a little protein quiz.
I'd love to. I was hoping we would get to this point in the program. Look at these smiling faces just all staring at me. Let's do it. Let's have a protein quiz.
You can take a call, too. Like, if you need a lifeline and you need to make a call, you can do that.
Okay, great. Anne, welcome to 720 WGN.
Oh, hello.
Hang on, Anne. I'm kidding. We'll get back to you in a second.
Poor Anne.
I feel very nervous right now. Can I read some texts here? No, go ahead.
Go ahead. You read a text, and then I'll put you on the hot plate.
Well, the texts are actually just questions for you guys, so maybe I can incorporate that into the quiz. Where are we going here?
Let's see this. Okay. So you're a sports guy, and sports guys are always concerned about protein. So let's just see what you really know about protein.
Okay.
Because they're so concerned about protein, but how much do sports people really know about protein? So I'm using you as the one example of all sports people. It's totally unfair.
No, it's fine. I can represent all dumb athletes right now who just really want to live and play their whole lives and not actually think about things like this that might make them live longer and healthier and be better and all that stuff. Go ahead.
How many grams of protein do you think 1 cup of lentils has?
1 cup of lentils. Like lentil soup?
I was going to go with just a cooked cup of lentils, but we can have that.
Lentils, that would be the legume?
Yes.
The legume lentil?
Yeah.
One cup?
You know that already, legume.
I'm going to go, Dan's looking at me like I'm completely nuts. I will go with 7.
18. Now, okay.
Hold on. What does 18 grams of protein do for me? Like, what does that mean? Break that down.
Okay, I'll help you out here, and you guys jump in as well. So I'm supposed to have about 46 grams of protein a day. I'm going to guess, looking at the size of you, Mark, that maybe you're going to have about 57.
Okay.
So 1 cup of lentils is 18, so you're, you know, a third of the way there.
How many cups of lentils do you eat a day, or how much protein do you have a day, Dan?
I eat 54 grams of protein a day.
Religiously? Like you try to... Get right. Oh, okay. You're not exactly being serious. Okay. I got it. Okay.
Give or take.
Okay. So I should be in the 50 protein now. So yeah. I set my cup of lentils and I've got 18 and I've got 32 to go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So What do you think is in a baked potato, a large baked potato?
Is that a sweet potato or a baked potato?
A regular baked potato. Regular, Idaho potato.
I'm going to guess, based on the way the show is going, that that's going to be way less. I'm going to say there's eight.
I wish I had a prize for you. What can I give you? Ding, 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 ding. It is eight. It's eight. Wow, good. Mark, you're smart.
I have great intuitions here, Elizabeth. Thank you. All right, so, yeah, right. Well, I know that I've read that the white potato is something that you should cut out of your diet. I had some delicious French fries today. Felt bad about it, but I ate them. So I know that's not it's not a great choice, right? The baked potato, choice.
I actually think a baked potato is a great choice, I think, because it's an unprocessed food, and it's got some protein, and as long as you're not adding, you know, butter, oil, the whole bit, it's, you know... I don't know. You guys weigh in. What do you think about potatoes?
I think it's all about balance, right? So, like, you're not going to have a potato at every meal every single day of your life, but it's not going to kill you to have a potato every now and then. It's just what you pair with it, right? So you want to think of every meal as having the right balance of all the main nutrients in your diet.
Fair enough. Okay.
It goes back to the everything in moderation.
Right. Okay.
Now, I think 8 grams of protein is a good start because you never eat a baked potato by itself. You eat a baked potato with, you know, like I would put sauteed mushrooms on it. So if I had a bunch of mushrooms, that's going to add 4 grams of protein, give or take. So now we're at 12 grams of protein just from my baked potato. And we haven't even talked about salad that's going to have some beans in it. And, you know, so then I'm going to get more. So basically what I'm trying to say here is any meal I can get 20 grams of protein.
Okay.
And it's not coming from meat. So, I don't know. Okay, good. Now, here's another one. How many grams of protein do you think are in corn?
How many grams of protein
I'm
in
sorry,
corn?
I'm sorry, an ear of corn.
An ear of corn.
Yeah, a large ear of corn.
3. I'm going to go with 3.
You're good, Mark. It's 4.
All right. I love. Who doesn't love a good ear of corn?
I know. I do.
Bring
Me
on
too.
Summer. Let's
Me
go.
Too. But if you don't want to do any of the work that we're doing, you can just get one of the Light Life products. So you can get their new burger. Just boom, 20 grams of protein right there.
Yeah, and the great thing about Light Life's portfolio is that we really have products that serve pretty much any kind of meat replacement you're looking for.
I mean, I'm excited to try it. You guys are, I mean, the smiles on both your faces right now is just, it's
making you a believer, aren't we?
100%.
Yeah, Mark, we are so pumped about this. We've done this in record time. You know, we announced it earlier this week. It's going to be in stores here in the Chicagoland area by April 1st. So we've got customers already lined up for it. The beauty of the two brands that we have is the distribution we have in the throughout the country is absolutely amazing. So we've been able to piggyback on that with those relationships with our customers.
And actually, that does bring us to Ann, who has a question along those lines. Ann, go ahead with your question.
I wanted to know what stores you would purchase this item, under what brand name, and is it in the dairy case or frozen or what?
Okay, we got you, Ann.
Ann, great question. Thank you. So first of all, Light Life is sold refrigerated. Currently today in the traditional grocery stores, the Jewels, the Marianas of the world, it's sold over in the produce section, the current products that we have. And stores like Whole Foods and the natural food stores that tend to have a section called out for plant-based or meat alternative products. The new products will all be under Light Life, and they will be sold over in the meat section, in the refrigerated meat section of your grocery stores.
One more call. Let's get Taxi Driver Bob in here, who's a regular. What's up, Taxi Driver?
Yo. What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm a Costco shopper, and they usually have... They bring in different veggie burgers into the store there. I don't know if they necessarily stick with one brand that they always have, but they did have a black bean burger that I thought was very tasty. Are you guys going to be coming out with any products that have black bean in it? Because I'm a big fan of that, especially black bean soup on a cold night like tonight with a thing of some cornbread with butter on it. Oh, talking some smack there, man.
Yeah. There Bob, it sounds absolutely delicious. I would say while we're always looking for new products coming, that's not in our horizon right away. I will tell you, though, to your point, Costco does like rotating products in and out, and I would say stay tuned for some more news coming from Costco in the future on our products.
Wow, very exciting. I just want to give one more stat here, and soon then we're going to have to run because we're going out of time. Plant-based foods are up 17% to $3.7 billion. So when you told the grocery stores that you were revamping your products, what was their reaction?
They were absolutely ecstatic. As leaders in the category, they expect that from us, right? They demand it from us, right, to bring innovation, to bring the newness with it. So when we talked about where we were going with this, they were 1,000% supportive of with it. So we're getting great, great response from it.
Again, I think it's the power of the consumer. You're really seeing the floor plan of the supermarkets change because people are eating differently and they're ready to make changes so that they can make more money. So they're getting behind it. It's a fun time. It's really a fun time. Dan Curtin and Corey Lopez, I want to thank you both for being here. Everybody, you can get Life Light products, their burger, their sausages, their ground. You can get it at all these grocery stores, Whole Foods, and look for Costco. It might be coming. Keep your eyes out. And, of course, you can go to lightlife.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can actually find where to buy the products on lightlife.com.
Wonderful. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thanks for having
so much.
Us. Back after a break.
720 WGN.